B-Pod Studios.
He's not going to shoot the ball. He needs to go. But now things change. People have to understand that. He's going to be one of the top 10 players in his league, and I don't want to see him go until he's ready to go.
So, Mike, you agree with Inge then?
Well, what was he saying? Wasn't he saying that he can't shoot and needs to go?
No. Here's where I think the disparity is. He doesn't need to shoot right now. I agree with you, Mike, if you say that. Right. He doesn't need to shoot. He does need to learn how to shoot, though.
Sure. I mean, like you just said, Bob, in his last 10 games, his free throws are improving. That's where I care more than about his jump shot. I mean, you know, he took a couple yesterday. Great. He took a three-pointer. Awesome. I don't want to see him shooting threes during games anyway. That's not his game. I want him driving to the lane and kicking out to somebody else who shoots 48% at the three-point line. You know what I mean? What was Inge saying? Because I thought that he was sitting there trying to say that Ben Simmons got
to
go.
We're working on it. We're trying to decipher it. We have a team back in the back trying to figure out exactly what it was, Mike.
Now, Inge was saying, similar to what you're saying, Mike, he doesn't need to shoot when he has all these other guys on the team.
Oh, God. So does that mean I was just agreeing with him?
Yep, that's what it means, Mike.
I'm going to go walk blindfolded on 95.
All right, see you, buddy. Take it easy. Be careful out there, folks. It's still a little slippery. Last I looked, it was still snowing a little bit.
It is. It's still coming down.
Everybody be careful.
Andrew said it's coming down harder.
Oh, Andrew Salchunas is here. Look who decided to show up. That's fine. Good for you. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a second here on 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. We have Jim Lynham coming up. Got to tell you, though, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Baxter. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebaxter.com. On the line with us right now, the coach from NBC Sports Philadelphia pre- and post-game shows for the Sixers, Jim Lynham. Good morning, Coach.
What's up, fellas?
Hey, it's great to have you on.
Jimmy.
Hey, Jimmy, first out of the gate, your impression, first two games, Sixers playing with Tobias Harris in the starting lineup. I don't know about you, but to me it looks like they've been playing together for a lot more than two games.
Yeah, I'd have to say maybe that was the most impressive thing over the first two, the way they just seemed to mesh so well. And you talk about put points on the board yesterday. I mean, they manhandled the Lakers 140-plus. So I do think, like, when you just take a step back and just try to simplify that, they do have a potential here to be an offensive juggernaut. I mean, they have a lot of ways where they really put pressure on the defense.
Yeah, second most points they've scored in a game this season, and they do it in their second game with Tobias Harris in the lineup. The most they scored was 149 against the Timberwolves back on January 15th. But, Coach, how much of this do you attribute to Brett Brown, and how much do you attribute this to just talented guys kind of having a knack to play for one another?
Well, I think it's a combination of those two, Mark, that, you know, the style that the Sixers employ, it's a very free-flowing type of basketball, a lot of player movement, and guys with high basketball IQs who have like a broad, well-rounded kind of skill set. You know, the one thing I think you can say right from the point guard Ben Simmons to the center Joel Embiid, these guys were skilled basketball players. And I think those level players, they like playing in a style and a system like this. Brett said, I don't know if you saw any of his pregame thoughts, but he was saying that I guess he was addressing the fact of implementing new talent onto a team. And he said he has no desire to be a waiter, like a give something here for Bob, give something here for Mark. That's your turn now, Trey. He doesn't want to call a game like that. Mm-hmm. He wants to let the game flow. And that's what you're seeing unfold, you know, in front of your eyes.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought it was a great analogy. And he was breaking it down like that to make sure that everyone got their shots. He's like, that's not how you coach. And more importantly, that's not how you play. So then from a player's perspective, a guy like Ben Simmons, I assume, would take even more of a facilitator role, though, because as a point guard, he wants to get everybody involved so no one feels like they're taking plays off.
Yeah, but I think that's a good point. And I heard your kind of last caller as I was waiting to go on the line. Yes, but Ben doesn't have to hunt shots. And maybe he was doing a little of that by circumstance at the top of the game yesterday. But what he has to do, he has to put pressure on the defense right from the outset. That's one of the things that the Sixers do, in my opinion, better than anybody in the NBA. They initially put tremendous pressure on you by not only bringing to that your very, very quickly down the floor, but in the person of the ball in Simmons' hands. And sometimes that'll lead to him getting into the lane and taking shots early in a game. So be it. But it is really incumbent on him that he pressures the defense constantly from the backcourt.
Jimmy, are we too worried about the Sixers bench and what they have there? Because I'm of the feeling that with this firepower you have in the starting five, you can always drift back a couple of those guys to go with some of the second unit guys, and that'll help it out immediately.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point, Bob. And I would have said, if you'd asked that question before Elton Brand waved his magic wand, yes, if you compared this bench, let's say, to the Celtic bench or Toronto's bench, I think it would have been an issue. But based on what you just said, number one, and also the influx of new talent, you know, you have some really athletic guys that, you know, maybe not as high profile as a Tobias Harris, but, you know, Mike Scott, this guy's a very good player. He shoots a high percentage. And the one thing the Sixers have really been consistent with from day one, people out on the wings, they do, ideally, they strive to get long, athletic guys who can make three-point shots. That's a good formula to have come playoff time when you're looking at wing players.
With all the moves that Elton Brand made during this year, do you think that put him in position for GM of the year?
Well, we'll have to see how it plays out, Frank. But for me, I sent out the text on the weekend, and you know, I've watched this league a long time. A lot of activity, and not just sometimes, you know, teams can do things, you know, just for different reasons. I'll say it that way. But these were like productive moves that really addressed. I mean, essentially, what Elton has done, he's turned Dario Saric and Covington into Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, and at the same time, dramatically improved his bench. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement.
Coach, what do you make of all this? We're speaking with Jim Lynham. What do you make of all this talk about the collusion between Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson and the idea that Ben Simmons wants to go work out with Magic? If you were Brett Brown or you were Elton Brand, would you approve something like that for those two to get together?
I just saw it yesterday for the first time. That would be a conversation I'd have down the line, to be honest with you. But if I were either Brett or Elton, you know, obviously I'd kind of like be curious of where Ben was coming from. If in fact, you know, it was actually a plan. My guess is that it was probably casual conversation, you know, because of the fact Magic being one of the, you know, great point guards of all time and unique in that he was a 6'9" guy doing it. So sometimes these things happen by accident. And there's really not a great deal of substance to them.
Yeah, I would move that there would at least be a chaperone involved if the two meet. Would you be for a chaperone, Coach?
No, if you're referring to the idea of some kind of collusion and future Magic plan, believe me, the issue of whether they're going to work together on the basketball court or not would be way, way, way secondary as to whether Ben ever had a future interest in that. Heading to the left coast.
That's what I thought.
Jimmy, we saw interesting defense against the Sixers last year in the playoffs by both Miami and Boston, sagging defense, trying to take Ben Simmons' penetration away. My question to you is, now what Elton has built, does that negate what team, if teams can do that anymore? Could Miami go in and just sink down off of Simmons, or is that negated now because of what Elton's built?
Well, I would say that no, it does not. Now, again, how successfully teams will certainly try and do that. I think it's suicidal to try and run up and down with this team. And ever since Brett's been here, you know, the pace that they play at has been one of the first goals. And they're really, from day one, they've been one of the fastest playing teams. They make a lot of passes. They race the ball at you. And Brett used the phrase fourth quarter when he was interviewed in game, he said it was like a video game out there. And I don't think you can expect that they'll be able to play at that pace in the playoffs. I don't think the other teams are going to cooperate to that degree.
Coach, when you look at how this team has started to come together over these first two games, have you seen really, I guess I'll go to the front office here, but have you seen a front office like this with Elton Brand, with such little experience, be able to put together a team that, again, just looks like they have that experience together already, despite it only being two games? Because I can't remember too many GMs, especially in Sixers history, that have been able to put something together that worked this well right away.
Yeah, well, I would say that you're probably looking, I'm not in the office or in the meetings, but I think you're looking at a corroboration of a lot of really sharp people. I know a lot of the people that Elton works with in the front office, they're very, very bright basketball people. And I think you have a terrific relationship between the front office and the basketball staff. You've heard Brett mention that when the Sixers won the West Coast trip, he was spending a lot of time, the head coach, while he's out there coaching the games with Elton and his guys, kind of communicating in the event that something along the lines that we saw was going to take place. So I think when you have that kind of a relationship from top to bottom, management, ownership, David Blitzer and Josh Harris on board, that they're ready to go to the open the purse strings for these guys. That's when things like this unfold, and what you're watching on the court, you say, wow, this sure seems like this Tobias Harris is fitting in real good. Well, let me tell you, there's a lot of forethought that goes into things like that when it unfolds in the manner that you're watching.
Jimmy, as seamless as these transactions seem to have been so far, is there anything that has concerned you in these first two games? I mean, a lot of people bring up Jimmy Butler maybe not getting enough looks, whatever it may be. To me, it looks like he's passing up on some looks just playing a team game. But is there anything that you noticed maybe on the non-positive side?
No, I can't say that, Bob. But again, let's be a little patient here. It's a short stretch that we watched. Small random sample, let's say. There'll be a couple of pitfalls, obviously, over these last, 26 games remaining. But that's kind of secondary to me. So what this is about now, it's like a 26-game dress rehearsal for the real deal that's going to start in mid-April. That's where this team, the mindset's going to be. They're going to be in preparation for, ready to go when that starts.
When you talk about that real deal, Coach, do you expect the Sixers, as they are right now, before anything with the buyout market, but as they are constructed right now, are you expecting them to be the team to beat in the Eastern Conference?
Well, when you say expect, I think there's three right now. I think the Celtics I've never been quite as big a fan. I'm not trying to say that in a disparaging sense, but even last year, I'm not quite as on the bandwagon as the rest of the world with the Celtics. But I do think that the Milwaukee Bucks and Toronto Raptors, both of whom also improved at the trade deadline, I think they are very, very formidable opponents. Both have a better record than the Sixers right now. Milwaukee may have a 5 or 6-game lead in the loss column. So picture that. Knowing how well the Sixers have played, Milwaukee is 6 games better in the loss column. So those two teams, they're not going to go away easily. It's not my phrase, but somebody used the thought bloodbath come playoff time.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're looking at.
Tom Haberstroh, I believe NBC, when you were on with us, I think it was last Thursday, brought that up.
Exactly.
It is going to be a bloodbath. It'll be interesting to see how the final couple months or really couple weeks of the season shape up after the All-Star break with Milwaukee. Toronto, they're done with, and then they have the Celtics, of course, coming in tomorrow, and then they have another matchup later in the season coming up against those Celtics as well. Coach Jim Lynam, always great talking to you. Thanks for coming on with us.
Likewise, guys. My pleasure.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Take it easy. That is, I think, the perfect way to say it, because, look, we all know that when you look at the Sixers, they have improved greatly. That goes really without saying. You see it come together. But when you look at the other teams in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks are still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they have been a first-place team for a while now, so that's just some fluke that they beat out the Raptors or anything like that. They have established themselves in this conference. Not going to be easy, but still, when it comes down to it and they got to go up against these teams, like the Bucks and like the Raptors later, if they face them in the playoffs and the Celtics, it is going to be a fight. And I'm just waiting for those Pacers to go away. That's all I want to see happen.
Yeah.
Those Pacers start to sink since Oladipo went out. We'll see what happens. Wes Matthews, though, signed up with them, so we'll see what happens there. Wayne Ellington, I think, still available.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Detroit. Yeah, that's right. So he can play himself into a decent contract next year.
Well, that's what Wes Matthews is doing.
Yeah, well, he has a starting chance, I guess, in Indy, so he can pad his stats and be ready for next year.
There we go.
I was talking about yesterday on air how important seeding is going to be now, mm-hmm. because it's pretty imperative they get a top two or three seed, because if you find yourself in that four spot, that could mean a potential Bucks second round matchup. And you want to do everything you can in your power to avoid that one.
Yeah,
certainly.
It's not unrealistic to think they can be two or three. Getting to one will be tough,
mm-hmm.
but it's going to be very important down the stretch. Now, you can't give away any more easy games against, you know, whoever, whether it be like the Nets where you're up there and they're on a losing streak. You can't do that anymore. You can't afford it.
You visit the Bucks again March 17th, and then you host them April 4th. So you face them two more times. Then you have the Celtics tomorrow night.
Yeah, and if Kyrie's out, that becomes a must-win game. Like, you can't let that one... You can't let the Celtics come into your house where you have the home court advantage and without Kyrie and win.
Then you have March 20th. So you visit the Bucks March 17th, and then you host the Celtics March 20th. Those are three big days in the 76ers playoff forecast, if you will.
Yeah, and like the Knicks are coming in after the Celtics. In no way, shape, or form can you blow a game like that. They've lost like 12 in a row or something. They're tanking. Like, none of that. That's not acceptable anymore.
The only way that happens is if, you know, your eyes are so set to the All-Star break.
Yeah, which is possible.
You're playing the Knicks. Their eyes have been set for the All-Star break for the last 2 weeks. The one scary thing that came out of this weekend, and we talked about Marcus... Morris talking about the Celtics aren't having any fun. It's a low point. All that, they're only one game behind the Sixers. You know, so if they're having all this so-called trouble,
right.
and they're still only one game behind the Sixers, they have high expectations up there. You know,
well, and they should.
Yeah, they should.
How they finished the year last year,
no question.
I mean, they should have beaten the. Should have beaten the Cavs. Could have beaten the Cavs. And they couldn't close them out.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm sure they have a bad taste in their mouth from the way last year ended. And I was sure as hell hope that the 76ers have a bad taste in their mouth from the way last year ended as well. I mean, is there a carryover? Like, is every year a completely different year, Trey?
Yes.
Or will athletes say, well, no, last year they got us, so we got them this year?
No, every year is a different year. You know, of course, you can always go back and look at what happened last year. But, you know, every year is something new. You have the new teammates. You have new situations going on. So you have to just build from there.
What sticks out in my mind from that series against the Celtics last year
mm-hmm.
was, remember Marcus Morris looking at Joel Embiid going 3-0, 3-0, mm-hmm. 3-0?
Yep.
That sticks out in my mind from that series, because that was a little trash talk started, and Morris was just like, yep, by the way, scoreboard, more or less. The scoreboard for the series, before the Sixers went back to Boston, where they then got eliminated, unfortunately. But that sticks out in my mind. If those two players are still there at both organizations, that's what starts a rivalry.
Yeah.
When it starts to matter more than just what happens on the court, when some words get exchanged, like in between the whistles, that's when I think it starts to get a little bit more of an edge to it.
Yeah, and a couple of things. I agree with Trey. I don't think the players really carried over so much, except for the instance that you brought up.
Right.
And plus, this roster has changed so much now. A lot of these guys don't even remember. But the one thing is, management remembers. And I think Elton Brand's blueprint of what he wanted to do was directly guided towards beating the Boston Celtics, getting a team that can get past the Boston Celtics. He addressed the perimeter defense, the perimeter offense. He got quicker on the perimeter, more athletic. That's where the Sixers got killed last year. He addressed that. I think this team has jumped, I don't want to say well ahead of the Celtics, but comfortably ahead of the Celtics right now.
Well, get ready for this phrase to be said over the next couple of weeks. If the season ended today. Sixers-Celtics.
Yep.
Let's party.
That's it.
Is that what it is right now?
Yeah, that'd be your opening series. Yeah.
4 Sixers, 5 is the Celtics.
Well, for Brett's existence on Earth, I don't want a first-round matchup to be that tough.
Why? Because, wait, but with the Celtics? Oh, no, of course. You don't want it
because
either.
If he was to lose in the first round, people are going to call for his job.
But then here's the other thing. You end up replacing the Pacers as the third-ranked team in the conference. Then you know who you face as of right now. If the season ended today,
the Nets. Yeah.
How much fun have they been this year?
And they're a little pesky.
The Nets have been a problem all year.
And they just got Caris LeVert back as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Right, but how do those teams match up with the Sixers? Let's look at it the opposite way. Forget about that now. Forget about it.
We are the one who knocks, as Walter White says.
There you go. I hope that's the case. I hope that's the case.
So do I.
610-632-0975. We got Keith. We got open lines after that. 610-632-0975. But we were referencing it with Coach Lynam a second ago. But I want to get back into this because Ben Simmons apparently wants to meet with Magic Johnson, talk about how to be big point guards in the NBA. So here's Ben Simmons explaining his mindset when he tossed that out to the media.
Definitely. Trying to learn from somebody like that would be huge. Getting to speak to him, he's been in multiple situations where he had to play the five, won a championship, and just the Hall of Famer. And one of those guys that, in terms of what position I'm in, 6'10 point guard, I think he can help.
You intend to ask the Sixers?
I'm not focused on that right now. I'm focused on my team and what's going on, so maybe another time.
Any other time I hear about a young guy for a team I root for that wants to meet with one of the greatest ever that play his position and similar strategies and whatever styles of play, I applaud it. I think it's fantastic. But when it's known colluder, Magic Johnson.
Yeah.
I volunteer my services as a chaperone to get involved and make sure there's no hanky-panky of the basketball world going on when they meet. When they get together, I make sure nothing else is being discussed other than playing the point guard position. And in this case, it would most likely be Brett slapping Magic Johnson on the wrist saying, don't you say that.
No, I could see you sitting there, Magic on one side, Ben on the other. You're eating like Chinese food or something like that. And all of a sudden, Magic will say something like, boy, what a great day we had today in L.A. It was 80. And you go, no. And Magic has to stop and brings it back to, well, in 1985, I was doing this. And did I ever tell you about the beach? Nope.
Did I ever tell you about the time I was late to the NBA Finals because the traffic on the 405 is awful?
And then you'd be like, I'll let that one go.
Yeah, that one's fine.
Go on. That's what I would
say. The smog, I was congested for the first 2 years I was out here because of the smog.
Everything else.
High taxes.
Yeah. The highest in the country.
Yeah. That's why they think Mike Trout could come to Philadelphia.
Yeah. Oh, he was there yesterday.
Oh, that's right. He was here.
It was a star-studded affair yesterday.
It was.
Everybody was there.
I teased this earlier. They got Carson Wentz and Alshon Jeffrey sitting next to each other.
That was big. Yeah. Considering Alshon's the one that most likely talked to Josina Anderson, that was good to see.
So did they talk about it on the way to the game? Like, look, man,
I totally dimed you out, bro. Sorry.
You hurt my feelings.
I just wanted the ball.
I had to go buy a dog. Name him Riggs.
And I got Riggs,
I wonder if the Sixers set that up. Did they invite them to the game or did they go on their own accord?
I don't know.
That'd be an interesting thing, right?
I think the teams have an open door policy. Like Brett, I know he would practice. When I was covering, they would have their practices on Sundays early on Eagles home games because they were lucky enough to get invited over to the game.
Oh, that is just beautiful.
Yeah, so
I'm sure they save like forced court sides for Eagles at any given moment.
Yeah, I would assume.
Yeah, I would think so. There's always an Eagle in the house.
Well, how do we know that they call? Like, do we think that Carson and Alshon texted each other, said, let's go to the game together? Or do we think they both just went to the game?
Nah, I think they went together.
Probably went together.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm thinking that's something that you're going to do together.
I'm thinking it's more fun to think that's not the case.
They
probably did, of course.
They coordinated it.
Yeah. But yeah. I'm just saying, I want to be in the room when it's Magic Johnson and Ben Simmons and they're colluding. And I want to be the guy, I want to be the chaperone that's like, don't forget to leave room for the Holy Ghost. Like, I like that.
That's right. Yeah.
I want to make sure that I police that.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least maybe JoJo's. Joel Embiid would probably be the best person to have in that room. Because, he would take over the conversation and then just start to tease Magic.
I hope y'all keep trusting the process.
He would be the guy just to be like, yeah, go ahead. And he would, lead him on. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be like, oh, no, not for you.
Like, Ben's mine.
Yeah, exactly. He's all
for you. That probably sucks.
610-632-0975. We got Keith. We got open line. 610-632-0975. Coming up, let you hear from Brett Brown about the situation that the Sixers are in right now. Right now, the situation they're in and the pressure it brings to him as a head coach. Time to Fanatic 923.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Mark Farzetta, Trey Thomas, Bob Cooney, Jamie Lynch, Sam Wilson, Tyler Zulu on the updates for you today. Andrew Salchunas traded for a player to be named later to the afternoon program with Mike Missinelli.
I just got word on that. Andrew actually has been suspended.
Suspended?
Oh, suspended.
Yes. Oh, what happened? Yes. Tampering? Collusion?
Yeah, collusion. He was talking to Tyler Zulu to try to overtake the station.
So, I knew it.
Yeah, he needed to be suspended for a day.
Bastards.
From us. He can do anything else he wants, but just from us for today.
Well, isn't that just appropriate for him? Anyway.
It's all made up, too.
Okay, there you go. So we let you hear from Ben Simmons a second ago regarding this meetup, this training sesh, if you will, with Magic Johnson. Here's Magic Johnson on what transpired.
He reached out to me, not to me directly, to the Lakers to find out if we can get together this summer. I said, hey, you got to clear with the league. And everybody that the Sixers sign off, we sign off, the league sign off, that there's not nothing going on, but he wants to know how to play the position as a big guard, da-da-da-da-da-da, it's fine. You know, I will do that. But if everybody doesn't sign off, then we can't get together.
And what did you pick up on that, Jamie?
Ben called me. He called the team. Because this is no fault of Ben's. Ben doesn't, you know, I don't think he's up on collusion. Like, he probably knows the optics aren't great, but, like.
Okay, yes, all right.
Yeah, but he views it as, oh, this is one of the all-time greats that I can learn from. So I don't think Ben is in any way in the wrong here.
Right,
but we're in the place where we can be like, no, that's not good.
If I'm the Sixers, I say chaperone. I say 100%, you have a team representative there, make sure everything's on the up and up. Or you just go to an email exchange that goes through the teams. That's what you do. Yeah, Brett Brown's like, email me, and I'll print it and show it to Ben, and then I'll let you know what he says.
Why is he waiting till this year to do it? Why not? I mean, if this is someone that you have been compared to your entire time, I mean, even going back to your LSU days, why not do it during the year that you weren't playing?
That's a great point. Why not?
Yeah.
Why waiting when you're another year closer to your freedom?
Yeah. I know why.
Really? Why is that, Bob?
Why is
it's Kendall's
Bob?
Fault.
Kendall.
Don't you dare bring her into this, Bob. Yeah,
she's an angel. She does a good job for the team.
14-2.
Got that Los Angeles connection. She said, oh, that guy Magic. Why don't you call him? I keep hearing his name and your name at the same time.
I've been to his movie theaters.
So he's like, all right, I'll call him, whatever. So he calls him, and then all this starts.
Well, there you go.
Kendall's fault.
Does anybody actually call anymore? It's probably all text, right? Come on.
Somebody called me recently out of the blue, and I was like, you psychopath. Like, what are you doing?
Why would you do that?
No heads up text? hey, got a sec? Can you talk? Like, no, just come butting into my life? What's the matter with
you? Phone call? What the hell? Psycho?
What are you, nuts? By the way, I just thought of this, right? So my wife was watching Father of the Bride. It was on like Valentine's Marathon or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It's a great movie.
Love that movie.
It's a phenomenal movie. Steve Martin, forget about it. Amazing. You know, it's actually a remake.
Martin Short's great.
Oh, he is. Yeah. Whatever his character's name is.
The Wedding Planner.
Yeah,
I forget it,
but whatever it is.
Franco. Yeah.
Something close to that.
Franco.
I think it's just Frank.
Frank. Yeah, it's Frank.
Wow, I know that. It's crazy. But there's a scene where somebody calls the house and, you know, the dad answers. Steve Martin answers the phone. And I'm thinking, what a lost art.
Mm.
Like, to be a kid, like, to be young, and then, like, having to call the girl's house.
You have to talk to the, hi, Mr. Johnson, is Kathleen home? Can I talk to her?
No.
Yeah.
Especially if you had that voice.
That was my seventh grade voice.
Really strangely close to Addie's voice. But, like, imagine, like, that was a screening process. Like, that's something that people just won't understand from a younger generation. Like, having to do that. Like, I grew up, I had a cell phone when I was, like, 16. All right, that was, like, my first cell phone. But I remember even before that, like, if there was one girl in school that had her own phone line to her room.
That was a big deal.
Even that seemed scandalous at the time.
You didn't have to talk to the parents to get to her.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
There was no screening process. You talked to her.
It was sexy.
Yeah. It was something you're not supposed to
do. And now they, like, send Snapchats and pictures of stuff that only their doctors see.
Well, we're going to talk to this woman, Sid Wilder, on Wednesday, the day before Valentine's Day. Sid is a comedian. She's an actress. She's a producer. She does a lot of social media stuff. She has like 400,000 followers on Instagram. She, and by the way, knockout beauty, all right? She's going to do a comedy show in Philly coming up, I believe, on Valentine's Day at Helium. She's going to come in Wednesday. We're going to run all this stuff by her and what she thinks about it because, you know, she's younger, right? Okay. You got to check her out. She's just absolutely gorgeous, extremely talented, and we're going to run all this stuff by her coming up on Wednesday this week to get her thoughts on this stuff. But just some interesting things here. But the bottom line is here, back to collusion, back to the point with Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson. There's no way the Sixers should allow this unless they have control. Unless they are able to take part in whatever meeting happens. If it's just a straight-up workout and picking of the brain, then by all means, that's great. But you bring up a good point, Trey. Why now?
Why now?
Why now? Yeah. Also, coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear from Brett Brown, as I teased earlier, regarding allowing this team, with as much talent as is on it now, to add some pressure to him and his job. Keith in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Keith?
Listen, guys, none of you are old enough to remember this, including Craig. There is no rivalry in sports better than the Celtics and Sixers when both teams are good. Yes, it matters. Yes, it carries over. I guarantee you it carries over. I guarantee you Joel Embiid remembers 3-0. It goes all the way back to Wilt and Russell. I'm old enough to remember it. It was Doc and Larry. It was Wilt and Russell. And now it's Embiid and whoever else was stupid enough to try to get the math off of him. It matters.
I don't
think it matters, listen to the crowd tonight. It's not even going to be remotely like it was yesterday. And yesterday was pretty loud.
I agree with you.
The Boston Celtics are the most hated team in this city.
I agree with you. But Trey's point was, as a player, does it carry over? You know what I mean? Like you're saying,
the management lets them know. This means something to this franchise. It's just like when he played for the Eagles. Don't tell me the Cowboys weekend wasn't circled on your calendar.
It wasn't.
We got a player right here who says it wasn't.
It wasn't.
I couldn't disagree. Listen, I can't argue with you. You're in the locker room. But I mean, you know, you listen to the players, and then since I've been following the Eagles for 60 years, they've hated the Cowboys.
Well, hold on a second. Hold on, Keith. Well, Trey, was any team circled on your calendar?
No.
I didn't think so.
Yeah. Well, listen, you know, I'm just...
I get what you're saying. Like a fan, see, the fans' interaction is something totally different. Like a player, you're always focused on what you have that week.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? So for you to look ahead, you can't do that because then now you get punched in the mouth during that game. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you can't.
Yeah, I get it, but yeah. I'm just making a point that in Philadelphia, they could make their season by beating the Cowboys, even if they were 2-12.
Well, Buddy Ryan made his career here out of doing that.
Right.
Beat the Cowboys, your one job.
No, Keith makes it. I understand exactly what Keith is saying. You just have to kind of toe that line of, yeah, the rivalry is there, like Keith said. Oh, I've had it since Wilson and, Russell and Wilt and Bird and all that. Yeah, you had it. Joel Embiid doesn't know anything about that. And Mark, you made a great point in Keith's point, too. Yeah, now Embiid has it, too, because he got in a little fight with Morris last year and the 3-0 stuff and all that. So, yeah, that's how it builds. But it really doesn't it carries over for us who've lived through it, but not to these young players who haven't.
Yeah, I mean, Harris is going to have an issue with the Celtics.
Right. All of a sudden, they're like a huge rivalry.
He's just
here.
I mean, and then even with Embiid, with the issue that he had with him, well, you know what? Let's go this scenario here. If he mess around and get traded, and you go to the Boston Celtics.
Yeah, right.
They're
gonna hate, I'm going to hate them as much. I mean, I've had conversations with guys in the locker room telling them what the rivalry was like between the Sixers and the Celtics back in the day. I remember talking to Evan Turner saying there was no better rivalry in all of sports.
Yeah.
And he didn't know about it. He's like, okay, they're just playing the Celtics. They're playing the team in the green.
Absolutely. Now, I didn't grow up in exactly the heyday of Celtics Sixers, but I mean, there's been enough of Paul Pierce versus Allen Iverson, and even going back to the draft day stuff between the two, right? And then Antoine Walker, guys like that playing for the Celtics. Paul Pierce continuing that. The last time the Sixers really made a deep run in the playoffs was against Paul Pierce's Celtics and Kevin Garnett and those guys. But you look at those teams, right? You look at those years, even going back to last year, there should be some reason to still hate the Celtics in this city. I disagree. Look, I don't think the Celtics are the most hated team in Philadelphia. I don't think that's the case. I still think it's the Dallas Cowboys first and foremost. I don't even think that's an argument about from anybody. And I'm talking about from a fan's perspective, not just team perspective.
Right.
Fan perspective, the Cowboys are the most hated team. It goes without saying. But then you look at teams like the Celtics, then you look at teams like the Penguins, for instance, in hockey. Like, even if you're not a big hockey fan, you know that the Penguins are the devil. Like, the Penguins are the worst franchise to come into Philadelphia.
Who, by the way, are coming in this evening.
Right. Go figure. So a game like tonight is a game where you know that your hometown fans, your Flyers fans, are going to be even more flyered up because it's their biggest rival.
Yeah.
And you're playing hot.
Damn
right.
Right.
Let's do it, Carter Hart!
Yeah, and like the likes of Claude Giroux, he has built that rivalry because he and Crosby don't like each other. You know, so that's an example where, yes, players have built a rivalry with each other.
All right, now let's get back to the Sixers and what they got going on here with Brett Brown talking about some pressure that is now on his plate because with talent comes expectation. And that's what's on Brett Brown right now. That's what's on his plate.
That's what you coach for. You know, it's like you work a lifetime to be as good as you can be as a coach. And here we still are, and now we actually have a team that has a chance to do something incredibly unique. And if all of that means, well, now there's additional pressure, so be it.
I love that he actually addressed it. I know he was asked about it. But to talk about that and to grab the bull by the horns, grab the rose by the thorns,
grab
whatever.
The rose by the thorns.
Thank you.
There you go.
That shows me that this guy knows what the deal is. Like, before, he knew what his job was. It was to, you know, maintain order in the locker room. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Now it's to win. Mm-hmm. And it's been to win for about 2 years now. And now that they have Tobias Harris, now that they have one of the best starting fives, maybe the second best starting five in all of basketball, he understands that with the expectation comes pressure. And Elton Brand actually putting it out there, saying that with this team, when you look at the roster as it is right now, he'll be disappointed if they don't make the Eastern Conference Finals.
You know,
he'll be disappointed if they don't make the finals.
You know what pressure makes?
What's that?
Diamonds.
A lot of diamonds going championship.
RG3 breaks. Actually tried to trademark that phrase.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Good for him.
Pressure makes diamonds.
So, what?
Yeah.
Huh.
When he was going through his stuff in D.C., he basically was like, well, you know what pressure does? It makes diamonds. And then he tried to trademark that.
Good for him. Nice try. Can he not do that because it's scientific and that's what happens?
Well, I think it's a saying that's been around for like hundreds of years. So, I don't think it's really trademarkable.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know there was a statute of limitations. Not statute of limitations.
Well, I mean,
you know who made up that
phrase. Saying
is
old as time, right?
Jason Witten. He's the one that came up with it.
Saw the serious look in your eye, Bob Cooney, and I realized we were going Jason Witten. Time of the Fanatic, 942.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Welcome back, everybody. Let's get our boy Scott in Barrington up here. He's got some Sixers chatter. Scott, what's going on, man? How are you liking them Sixers right now?
Man, oh man.
Feeling good?
Brother Trey, Brother Cooney, what's going on, fellas? Man.
What's up, buddy?
I just can't. I can't believe it. Not only that, I missed the game yesterday. I was out with my lady, but listening to Mr. Tom McGinnis was just like being there, fellas. But Mr. Elton Brand, what can I say, rookie general manager, look what he's done. He hasn't won the big one, but I put him past Mr. Klentek, but he's up there with Howie Roseman. Just the way they're gelling. Now, I know I had the theory of what a lot of people say it took Bosh, LeBron, and D-Wade time to gel, but then you come on the other side, look when they picked up Moses and how he made a difference right away, fellas. So I just can't believe it. And the noise is just crazy. Let me ask you, now, you kind of stole my thunder. I know when AI was here, the place went wild, but I think back to my other biggest Sixers memory when the noise was loud was when Moses came here. You guys remember that?
Sure do.
Yeah, Bob mentioned that earlier. I had mentioned the same effect. Like, Tobias Harris, of course, doesn't have that huge name in the NBA that everyone's like, oh, LeBron James category or anything like that. But in terms of what he's bringing, like, exactly what you needed. Like, in 09, this Phillies team needed another starter. So they went and they got Cliff Lee. That buzz was in the building, man. You just knew it. You go back to T.O. with the Eagles. It was exactly what they needed. They needed that number one wide receiver. That buzz was at the link. And now the Sixers go out there and they get a power forward, exactly what they needed, and they put up 143 points. Yeah, that buzz is back.
Definitely, definitely. And look what Scott brought to the table, like you said. Even the big man, I can't pronounce his name, just what they bring to the table. It's not like, oh, man. And what I like about the big man, I'm like another Sean Bradley. I watch his highlights as soon as he got traded here. The guy can pass is not doofy. So sky's the limit for the guys. Once again, take him a call. Peace. God bless.
All right, Barry. Bon. Back at you, brother. Herminio? Is that who this gentleman is? Herminio? All right, Herminio. You're on 97.5 in Virginia. What's going on there, Herminio?
Hey, man, appreciate it. Appreciate the time. Hey, listen, if you're the Lakers GM and you're trying to build around LeBron, do you really think the Lakers want Ben Simmons? I mean, he's LeBron. He's basically LeBron without a jump shot. He just doesn't gel well with LeBron, in my opinion.
Uh-huh. Give me the best player in the game. I'll make him gel with anybody.
Yeah, really.
I just don't agree, man. I feel like he has no jumper. I don't think I don't think he fits well with LeBron, but. I appreciate the time, guys.
All right, thanks, everybody. Right. Appreciate it, man. I don't get it. You make that work. I think you said, Bob, you make it work if you have the best player in the game, and if they get along really well. And look, didn't LeBron just trade for Ben Simmons
in the All Star game? He gave up Russell Westbrook.
Yeah,
this is also how premeditated it is. He grabbed Anthony Davis. He grabbed Kawhi, pending free agent. He grabbed Kevin Durant, pending free agent. And there was somebody else.
Colluder!
Yeah. Hmm? I mean, the league runs on collusion.
Yes.
To deny it is foolish.
Yes, it's adorable, actually.
Yeah, so an end to this with Magic and Ben.
Chaperone!
The Sixers are not in a favorable position here.
If they chaperone it, then I'm fine with it. Because then you know what's going on, and Ben Simmons still gets the good reviews and gets all the good advice that he needs from a guy like Magic Johnson. That's what I got to say. How about that? All right, well, what do we do with our Twitter poll here, Sam? How's it look?
Today we asked, should the NBA approve Ben Simmons and Magic Johnson to meet? We had just under 4,300 votes today. 60% said no, and the other 40% also said no.
What do you know? 100% no. It's the first time a consensus.
We all agree.
How many people voted, Sam?
Just under 4,300.
Oh, my goodness. See that? We're doing our due diligence here. We're doing our work. All right, let's get our takeaways of the day in here. Sam, what's your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is Mark and anybody else who are looking to buy a house, be extra cautious walking around, please.
I think this was yours for drugs.
Jamie, what's your takeaway of the day?
I'm disturbed that with about 25 minutes of viewing time, spent by far and away the most time on the Grammys of anyone on the show last night.
Including me.
Including Sam.
Did you see Lady...
One girl wasn't watching, the other one was.
That was a good one.
By the way, did you see Lady Gaga last night?
Gaga.
Yeah, Lady Gaga.
She's a strange one, man.
I thought it was cool that she tried singing the male part of that song that they sing, the Shallows. Shallow?
Yeah.
But then she started going nuts.
Yeah, like compulsive.
Like it really, like if you just would have played it for me, just the audio, I would have been like, wow, this is incredible. And then watching it.
Yeah.
She wore a meat dress before. I don't think she's exactly normal.
But Alicia Keys' dual pianos thing, that was absolutely incredible. Bob Cooney.
Haven't been this excited about a Sixers starting five since 1983, and I know I'm the only person here that can say that, but to tell you why, first two games they've played together, the starting five has combined to shoot 53% from the floor.
That is one hell of a takeaway. Trey Thomas, takeaway there.
The fans are feeling the Sixers, baby. We taking it all away?
We are absolutely taking it all the way.
I think I got my swagger back.
At least in the, at least in the Eastern Conference. My takeaway of the day is that Magic Johnson character is a snake in the grass. And without a chaperone, there will be no meeting between Ben Simmons and that snake.
Oh, that was terrible.
Magic Johnson. I don't trust Magic.
For Pete's sakes!
I don't trust Magic.
Stay tuned for Gargano and Bertinus Middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Man, I'm trying to dumb man.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.